Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Nick Anderson, Steve Blass, Joey Devine, Rick Ankiel, Chuck Knobloch, John Keane, David Duvall. Musical guest, Explosions in the Sky. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock. And I'm here, as always, with my good friend and co-host, Sean Keane.
Sean. Hey, Joey.
I'm surprised the ghost of Don Pardo went with all guys who have the yips this week.
Yeah, that was weird.
And not just two names, which would have been Monte Ellis and Latrell Sprewell. Because those are our two other guys who were suspended by the Golden State Warriors for very weird things.
Yeah, that happened.
But before we get to that, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm good. Doing good.
Great. Should we just get to some reader questions we got right away?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, we just thank you so much for, listening to the show, all the work you do advocating for the show. Look, we read the subreddits. We get your texts. We've read your iTunes reviews. I just want to thank all the Roundball Rocketeers, Roundball What the Fuckers. Yeah, it's just great. It's a grassroots movement.
Sean, please don't use the fact that we are not that popular as a joke in the future.
I like our community. I appreciate it.
I also do. And our community does have a leader. We haven't heard from him in a while, but he was the first fan of Roundball Rock.
He's like the Pope of the Roundball Rock faithful. Is that saying too much?
Probably, because like, look, I don't think our man Dubberoo would cover up years and years of bad behavior from the Roundball Rocketeers.
That's true. Roundball, you know what? He's more like the young Pope.
But before we get to that, We got to hear the drop.
This is Roundball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
That's right. We've got some mail from our friend, down in San Diego, the only Roundball Rock listener who has mailed us a Christmas present.
That's incredible. Also, got to say, I was talking about talking up the community a lot recently. We could have had more Christmas presents, right? Is that totally unreasonable?
No, don't beg for Christmas, because you know what?
I'm not begging for Christmas.
The thing about us getting Christmas presents. If they ask for a Christmas present, I then have to give them my home address.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Actually would prefer not to do that.
Yeah, because Danny Ainge is looking for you. We have that on good authority.
But our man Dubaru, he missed the deadline for for our emergency Jimmy Butler question.
But you know what? Dubaru is not bound by those kind of deadlines.
He spans
whenever you want, Dubaru.
He spans time and space.
Uh-huh.
The man in San Diego at Dubaru asks for Joey and Sean. How the fuck can two quote-unquote professional athletes, Fultz and Ben Simmons, not learn how to shoot at all? If I was great at my job but couldn't type on a computer for some reason, I'd get fired. Asin Kidd is 9th in threes all time. Now, before we answer this question, which is not really a question and more of a statement, spoken like a true Boston Celtics fan, lumping Ben Simmons in with Markelle Fultz here, are you going to call him a coward next, Dubaru? Are you going to say he's a coward? But Sean, answer the question. How the fuck can two professional athletes, Fultz and Simmons, not learn how to shoot at all?
I mean, it's probably like bad parenting, I'm guessing. Maybe they what would Colin Coward say here? It's probably based on their dads or cultural values
coded,
or something.
There would be coded racism in it.
There would be. I don't think Ben Simmons has taken a three this year, but he is shooting 53% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good, right?
I mean, look, Dubaru used an analogy about a job here.
Uh-huh.
So I will do that in return. When I did stand-up, I was good at some things. Well, I mean, I'm good at some things and not as good as other things. Like, I'm not much of an impressionist. I don't really make funny faces.
You kind of are an impressionist, though, I have to say.
Not really. No, but you know what I mean. I'm not like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
I'm not like Terry Fator. Wait, he's a puppeteer. No, that's an even better. You know what? That's an even better. I'm not up there with, I don't have any props. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a part of comedy.
That's true.
Like, some people are just better at other things. And those two guys are so, well, maybe not Fultz, but Simmons is so good at every other part of the job. He's like a Dimitri Martin, if you will. He's up there playing the guitar and writing one-liners. But no, sure, he's not turning around and then turning back around as Jack Nicholson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say
he doesn't
also
have a racist puppet.
I mean, he probably doesn't have a racist, but that would be very unlikely if he had a racist puppet. I would also say bringing up Jason Kidd is like perfect because he's, I think, just not, they don't really resemble each other stylistically, but I think Jason Kidd's like a perfect comparison to Ben Simmons.
Right, and Jason Kidd did not learn to shoot until like year 10.
Yeah.
Too. So.
But you know, I gotta say, I looked up his career stats after this question from Dubaru, and Jason Kidd did not hesitate to put up threes, even when he was not so great at them. So the one thing he does have is a lack of cowardice, I would say.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Jason Kidd putting up threes that you have to factor in on the threes he took. How many of those threes that he took were a product of the era of the NBA he was playing in? They were going so slow, he was holding the ball behind the three-point line when the shot clock was expiring.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that was a lot of them. I was not expecting that Jason Kidd was putting up, like, 4.5 threes a game from the time he got to New Jersey on, basically. Mm-hmm. But no, he puts it together. He's a 35%. He's a 35% career shooter.
And then Dubberoo also had a question for Brett and Randy.
Oh, yeah. They're on hiatus right now. I mean,
we're
Randy, we don't know
sure
where he
happened.
Is. Brett is definitely down there doing something regarding provisional ballots in Broward County. I don't really want to know, but that's where he is right now.
Dubberoo asks Brett and Randy, are the Sixers now the switchiest team in the league? I think I can answer for them and say, they certainly are the best at switching girlfriends now.
Oh,
yeah. Fuck you, Brett and Randy. Yeah.
I think the Raptors are probably the switchiest.
Yeah.
Still. But actually, I'm not sure how they feel about international switchiness. So good. Like, the exchange rate for switchiness might mean that Toronto's only as switchy as, like, Philly and maybe Milwaukee.
And I also want to say before we finish our reader segment or reader mail segment, David Jordan, we got your email and we will be addressing it next episode. I promise
It's too large.
It's
too, you know what I mean?
Big, like, of a, it's too much news happened today for us to address this incredible email we got from David Jordan.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we had a delicious meal and we were comped a delicious dessert from the kitchen by David, and it was a 7-layer cake. And so we're just gonna have to take it home and work on it a little bit, but we definitely appreciate it.
Yes, it is unparalleled. But that's to say to all of our other Roundball what the fuckers out there, hey, do you want us to answer your questions? Send them to us at roundrockpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at roundrockpod. Also, 5-star reviews on iTunes. Again, we don't know why we're supposed to say that.
Subscribe,
yeah,
rate,
like, review, subscribe.
Tweet. Pin us on Pinterest.
Yeah. We don't know. Again, we don't know why we're supposed to say that, but we are copycat. We are cowardly followers. So every other podcast says it. So why shouldn't we? Sean, yeah. Should we talk about the news?
Let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Lot of news, Sean. Which story would you like to get to first here?
I think we should go for our top story of the week, just because I feel like it's the most round ball story to come out.
Okay. Our top story, the story everyone in the NBA is obviously talking about, is DeMar DeRozan DeMar DeRozan was at Jack in the Box when he found out he got traded. And he'd just gotten out of the movie The Equalizer 2. And then
he stayed in
the Jack in the Box parking lot for 2 hours.
Yeah. So he went to see Denzel Washington in Equalizer 2. Mm-hmm. And his phone was blowing up, and he's like, man, I'm hungry. I got to go to this Jack in the Box. And then it's not clear that he got food. He must have gotten food.
He was there for 2 hours. He got food.
Yeah, he got food. And look, as we say a lot on this podcast, stars, they're just like us. They sit in the Jack in the Box parking lot for hours because they're sad.
You know what's weird about this, though? This isn't even the saddest star-related Jack in the Box story that came out this year.
There's a sadder one?
Oh, yeah, dude. Did you not see the pictures of Ben Affleck making Jennifer Garner drive him through a Jack in the Box drive through on his way to rehab?
Oh my god, I did not. And I even found some pretty sad Ben Affleck pictures a few weeks ago, in fact. He didn't do well in the Sexiest Man Alive rankings, I'll tell you that. He was like, not to talk about that again, but
why?
Right after 9/11, Ben Affleck was the sexiest man alive, and I feel like it was very appropriate. Okay, so that anyway, I think we're set up. We almost
here
have enough
is the headline from page6.com. Are you ready?
Okay.
Ben Affleck stopped at Jack in the Box on the way to rehab.
How much do you think he spent on that order?
Let me send you this picture. Look, this is not. I might cut this. Admittedly, but let me just send you this in the Skype chat right now.
Okay.
Hold on. I just think you should maybe see it.
not to jack shame, Ben, you're the
or
greatest
rehab
Batman
shame, ever. Frankly. Look, I love good Ben Affleck. I want him to get better, but
I'm saying $28 is what he spent. Because he doesn't care. He doesn't need a combo meal or the value stuff.
He it's hard to spend that much money on at Jack in the Box, though.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right about that. That's a lot of food. He is holding one bag. But I think we're set up now. We could have a tour of sad NBA food locations now.
Oh,
because
shit.
Because we have that pizza restaurant where Jason Kidd got fired.
True.
In Milwaukee. the official restaurant of Round Ball Rock, by the way. Rick Pitino's restaurant. He was a college coach at the time, but Rick will be coaching in the NBA any minute now. So, and then like the Club Rio parking lot, we have confirmed that they have food specials there. Just legendary spots. I can't think of any others offhand, but so good. But good DeMar profile. He apparently felt good about San Antonio once they started putting up DeMar DeRozan murals.
Oh, but didn't the Manu Ginobili fans deface them?
Yeah, they tried. They tried. But oh no, actually they're not psychos.
Oh right. Yeah.
They can root for a retired player, like a new player can come to their team and it doesn't threaten their memories, their unchangeable memories in the past of a currently retired player.
I mean, to be fair to Laker fans, LeBron James was trying to incept each and every Kobe Bryant fan and erase them from. I guess that's not incepting. That's more the Michel Gondry movie.
Oh, yeah. It's Spotless Mind.
Yeah. He was eternal sunshining them.
Also, DeMar, really, really good this year so far.
Yeah, he's been great. But we should probably talk about the real buzz in the NBA right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be one of the rare times we disagree with each other, actually. What?
But I think, I mean, yes it is. But let's do it.
So Draymond Green got suspended today for calling Kevin Durant a bitch a bunch of times during a game.
That seems to be what the punishment was for.
Except it's not. That's what people are saying it's for, but it's not. It's because he brought up fighting. Okay. Walk us through this story.
Okay. So the Warriors are playing the Clippers. They've fallen way behind. They have scored 11 points in a row at the end of the game. And they get a rebound with about 5 seconds left, I think. And Draymond takes the ball and decides to push it up court. Kevin Durant starts clapping because he wants the ball at the end of the game. And then And I should probably acknowledge that he barely crossed half court. Did he cross half court here? Anyway, Draymond tries to split a double team, loses the ball. The Warriors go to overtime where they lose because Lou Williams takes about 15 free throws and they lose. Afterwards, KD was yelling at Draymond for not passing to him, I guess. They were yelling at each other. And then apparently the yelling continued into the locker room to the point where the second nicest boy in the NBA, Klay Thompson, had to actually raise his voice and intervene,
vaping for 10 seconds and intervene. Mm-hmm. Because he was like, come on, man. I'm finishing a jewel pack. You're really harshing my buzz.
I got to go walk my dog for 2.5 hours, and I just can't have this negativity right now. Rocco can't deal with it. He can tell when I'm upset.
I'm really thinking about scaffolding, and you guys are yelling. Come on.
Yeah. So it is. I guess we have not heard like the specifics of what went on, especially in the locker room, but it appears that the exchange was something like, you should have passed me the ball, man, from KD, and then from Draymond, you're a bitch. And apparently before the overtime, he kept saying he's a bitch to Boogie Cousins, who eventually said lock in and slap Draymond in the face, which is a great aspect of the story. It's so weird to have Boogie Cousins just as a personality who's there all the time, who never plays, just makes the Warriors season extra surreal. And then when did they announce this? Like early afternoon?
Yes.
It came out they're suspending Draymond for conduct detrimental to the organization, which was weird phrasing, I gotta say. Not the team, the organization. And they suspended him from tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks. So that seems like people were yelling at Draymond, and Draymond kept calling KD a bitch. And I've heard people are like lip reading and saying that Durant said, that's why I'm out. I don't feel like that's like supported necessarily.
Sure, but I am pretty sure it came out 100% that Draymond did bring up KD's free agency.
Yeah, it sounds like that came up.
Which, to me, it's not the yelling and calling him a bitch that is the reason he got suspended. It's because he brought that up.
And the Warriors don't want to be harassing KD about his free agency when he might leave in July.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that, but I do think you can't just yell that your teammate is a bitch over and over again. Like I agree with you about what the motivations were, but on its face, this is like a suspendable thing, I think.
See, look, I would side with
Kate. You can't just yell that your teammate's a bitch, like, in front of everybody.
It happens all the time.
I do not think I think that word is different. Like, I've not seen this in my own life. It seems like an overreaction, but as far as I can understand from the last few years in the NBA, calling someone a bitch is very unacceptable in NBA culture. Probably in like regular person on the street culture too. I think if you call someone a bitch on the street, and like they punch you, a cop is probably like, well, you shouldn't have called him a bitch.
I just don't care. Like, I don't care. Look, don't yell at people, Draymond, obviously. Mm-hmm. But to me, this feels like Joe Lacob fucking, like, please don't leave me, KD, groveling, or Kevin Durant tattling. That's kind of what it feels like to me either way. Like the suspension aspect of it.
The thing is, he didn't have to tattle because Draymond was yelling it in an arena and then in the locker room in front of everybody.
100%. But you know what? Draymond,
so you don't need tattling there.
No, that's an, okay, but what I mean is, normally, when it's not like these two haven't gotten in arguments before on the court.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Normally, nothing happens. But, huh, someone brought up free agency and then suddenly they're suspending him? Like, to me, it's like somebody called somebody and was like, hey, Draymond was out of pocket. You have to do something about this. And that someone was Kevin Durant. Like, a guy who a guy who tattles on fucking sixth graders who yell at him. Like, a guy who, like, won't talk to Russell Westbrook to his face. Like, to me, there's a history of someone... one of these people has a history of, like, not exactly facing his problems, and the other one is normally the guy yells at one guy and then it's fine 2 hours later.
I would just say, if you want to talk about the history of the people involved, there is one person who called another NBA player a bitch on the floor very prominently during the NBA finals and got suspended from game 5 of the finals as a result.
He didn't get suspended because he called him a bitch, though.
That's why LeBron was yelling about it. It was a huge deal after the game. That was what LeBron...
But he got suspended, though, because he hit him. He didn't get suspended. But that's being disingenuous. Like, yes, someone called someone a bitch in that, that confrontation. But he didn't get suspended because he called someone a bitch. And again, calling someone a bitch sucks. Don't call people bitches. But also, like, there's no reason to suspend him. The suspension is, this to me is the Warriors being so scared Kevin Durant's going to leave, they're treating him like Lil Lord Fauntleroy.
Okay, but here's the thing. Draymond, in the past, has screamed at people in the locker room. In 2000, this is what you brought up earlier, was that in 2016... the Warriors had that game against the Thunder where Draymond tried to fight Steve Kerr in the locker room. And you said correctly, they didn't suspend him then.
Yes.
However, that season ended with Draymond racking up so many technicals in the playoffs that he got suspended in the finals. I wonder if, because it is mid-November and that Draymond embarrassingly publicly called, one of his teammates a bitch over and over again and yelled at the whole team in the locker room, maybe this was the point where they were like, let's maybe nip this behavior in the bud when there's 6 months to go before the playoffs. Maybe we were a little too lenient and blew an NBA title 2 years ago. Let's not make that mistake again and say, hey, stop yelling at people and calling them bitches. Like, I don't think anybody else on the team was happy with it.
No, of course not.
It sounds like the entire team didn't like it.
Excuse me?
So it sounds like the entire team was upset with Draymond.
No one likes it when Draymond yells at them. Like,
yes. So what's the problem with making a fairly minor piece of discipline in November against the Atlanta Hawks at home?
Because to me, there's a difference between fining him and suspending him. Like, well, I could see fining him, sure. But
I
also
feel like one of them sends much more of a message that their behavior is unacceptable in a workplace.
Okay.
Look, they're bringing Jimmy Butler the shit out of this. It's I think it is perfectly, perfectly acceptable to say, don't do that anymore. You make $18 million a year. We're your bosses. You're doing this in public in front of thousands of people in the locker room. You're in front of a bunch of reporters and team employees. Don't act like this. And I think it's going to embarrass him. And hopefully, I just don't think it's an unreasonable thing to ask somebody on your team to not call his teammate a bitch, especially and if they're worried about the effect of that on free agency, it's like, good. They should be worried about that. Like Draymond shouldn't do this.
Yeah, but
I'm 100% team Draymond, but like,
you know who else is free agency they also have to worry about? Fucking Draymond's.
I mean, okay. But I don't understand why he should be allowed to do whatever he wants because KD is sometimes salty on Twitter.
To me, did you read the KD quotes tonight? Like, to me, this is something you sit them down and mediate. Like, I don't know.
I think it's probably different if they're not playing back-to-back games, but it's something that, like, clearly one of their players was upset about in the workplace situation. They suspended him. Like this is a common thing that would happen at a normal job, too.
Okay.
Like they had one day. And KD did make, like, he seemed very upset. It was not a good look at all, but he wants an apology for someone yelling bitch at him, you know, in an arena.
But also, from a basketball standpoint, frankly, Draymond's not driving the lane to score. If KD runs, he's getting the ball back.
I mean,
you know that.
Neither one of them comes off very well, but Draymond decided not to pass and he lost the ball. That's on him. Like he is on, it is on him that he decided to not give the ball to Kevin Durant and lost the ball. If he, you know, he makes an amazing pass, great. Like, it's, I know it's not fair that it's outcome based like that, but, you know, like, you should be able to get criticized for making a bold and controversial basketball play when it doesn't work out. And you shouldn't respond to that by calling someone a bitch and saying, oh, you're just going to leave in free agency. It's like, so I'm completely unaccountable for anything as your teammate. Like, he was out of line.
I don't believe that he's suspended if it's anyone but Kevin Durant.
Maybe not, but, like, he's Kevin fucking Durant. Obviously, it's not going to bother Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Like, nothing bothers those guys. Kevin Durant is a guy who does, it does bother him. But, like, I think it's legitimate that he didn't like that.
I mean, yes, that is fair. I also wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's a fair suspension, though. It's one game. It was a winnable game. It didn't hurt the team at all. It's like, I don't know. It seems like from a recurring theme in the Warriors is Draymond and Kerr, who like each other a lot, but also clash a lot. The degree of, like, reigning in Draymond seems like it is an issue. And this seems like a point of, like, I don't think Draymond has grounds to be too upset about getting suspended here. I really don't. Like, don't yell at your whole team. Or, like, especially if someone's like, hey, man, you should have passed the ball. Instead, you lost the ball and then we lost the game. That's not the point to just lash out at someone else. Like, one person was being really defensive here, and it was Draymond Green.
I mean, I guess I... Here's an alternate theory I have. Are you ready? Okay.
Yeah.
So, earlier this offseason, Draymond Green said, and I quote, I love Steph Curry so much, I would die for Steph Curry. Is this Steph Curry got hurt 2 games ago?
Huh.
Is this Draymond Green's secret plan to help get Steph Curry an MVP? To blow the team up while he's out for a week?
Well, and I mean, like...
And then miraculously, everything is fine when Steph Curry comes back?
I mean, Draymond Green is not going to literally die for Steph Curry, but missing a game like this because he yelled at Steph Curry's secret arch rival, I mean, that's the equivalent of dying, right? Getting suspended. But I think we might be ignoring the big question, Joey, which is, how is Draymond Green going to fit in next to Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons when Jimmy Butler gets traded to the Warriors?
That would be a fucking...
That would be so awful. I mean, the good thing is that it seems like these guys, like... Well, no. Okay, I thought this until the press conference. I thought, these guys kind of, like, yell at each other all the time. But it seems like Kevin Durant is being very publicly butthurt, which...
Yes! Whoa. Kevin Durant is publicly butthurt about something? Can't believe it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, dude, that's, I'm telling
but
you.
You're so mad at KD before this started, I feel like maybe, I don't know. He's frustrating. He's a frustrating guy. Do you want to read the Stephen Clay quotes?
I don't have them pulled up.
Hold on. Steph's is.
Steph just said they asked him how everything is going, and he just said everything is great.
Everything is great. Steve Kerr before the game talked about how everything was fine, and then talked about his own experience getting punched in the face with Michael Jordan, and said, "I kicked MJ's ass."
Mm-hmm.
And then Klay Thompson's quote was funny, but also pretty sad.
Klay Thompson sounded like the child in the middle of a divorce. Hold on.
He said, I got this one. He said, "They're grown. They'll be fine. I love both those guys. At the end of the day, we're on the same team with the same goal, and that's to three-peat. And I don't think either of them will lose sight of that." Which is very much like mom and dad are fighting in the other room. I don't want to have to choose between them in free agency.
It's like the NBA press conference equivalent of the Mountain Goat song dance music.
Deep cuts on the Round Ball Rock podcast. Yeah, man. Don't be mean to Klay, man.
KD's not gonna let this go. I'm telling you right now. All right.
Wait a second. He's not gonna let it go if Draymond actually apologizes. I think this to me is like, I want you to apologize. Because they haven't talked to each other yet.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Say you're sorry, Draymond.
Draymond definitely would have apologized already if KD would like talk to him. But this is what happened with Russell Westbrook. This is also what happened with Kevin Durant and the Oklahoma City media.
They're not going to talk when Draymond's not banned from the facility for a day.
I mean, we'll see.
It's fine. It's going to be fine. I don't think it's a big deal. And, that's not a big deal. Also, KD, run. Don't just clap your hands. Just run. You might get the ball back. You never know.
He definitely would have gotten the ball back.
I don't think he would have gotten the ball back. Because Draymond drove into a double team. When was he going to pass then?
He was going to turn around and hit the tri- Anyway, I'm not going to fight about that.
Anyway, he fucked up. Acknowledge that you fucked up. That's all. You're a great player. You're a wonderful warrior. But you should be able to like tap your chest and say, "I fucked up," after losing the game like that in a game that you helped come back and tie and played great in.
Also, they wouldn't have lost that game if they were playing Kevon Looney a lot in overtime and he kept getting baited into free throws. Why was he out there?
Lou Williams has shot more free throws against the Warriors than anyone else I can remember.
Sure, but again, Kevon Looney. All right. Markel Fultz.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of other people who don't talk to each other, Markel Fultz last night had a maybe the most brutal free throw hitch I've ever seen. Is that fair?
That's a bad one.
Can you think of a worse hitch in a free throw? And I watched Andre Speedruns.
I've seen bad free throws, but oh god, it was like Charles Barkley's golf swing.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. It was, which the funniest thing is right after that happened, Drew Hamlin, the shooting coach, leaked to the media that he and Markel Fultz are no longer on speaking terms and no longer work together.
Yeah, look, that's bad, but how is Markel Fultz trainer like? Like, how does that call go? Is Woj like, "Hello, this is Woj," and is like, "Hey, man, Drew Hanlon." And how long does it take him to explain who he even is? I'm a trainer. I work out people. I've been working with Marco.
No,
Fultz.
Drew Hanlon's the famous trainer, though. I knew who Drew Hanlon was. Woj definitely does.
Celebrity trainer is like such a. It's just so weird. Like, famous NBA shooting coach who's like, "You know what, Markel Fultz? I'm going to burn you in the media. I am a shooting coach. I am Drew Hanlon." lot of Instagram followers, I gotta say, Drew Hanlon.
Yeah, he's famous, dude.
Pure Sweat. Oh, his place is called Pure Sweat? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Followed by Joe Mandy. Hilarious. Hilarious celebrity trader.
I mean, that starts with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It is. Yeah, right?
Tim Grover. Everybody knew who Tim Grover was.
Well, he's Dwayne Wade's trainer, too. Yeah. But it's very much in the class of, it reminds me of, like, the celebrity caddy. Mm-hmm. Where somehow people are like, oh, Steve Williams, he's the secret to Tiger Woods' success, you know?
What was fucking true.
And then who else did he have? He had that other guy who was like the deadhead.
Who was the one that like wrote the book about him and like
I think that's
like
Steve
turned
Williams.
On him? That's tight, dude.
Cat Trail.
He turned on him like Kevin Durant and every person Kevin Durant has ever met before. All right.
Steve Williams' book is called Out of the Rough, Inside the Ropes with the World's Greatest Golfers.
Okay. Markel Fultz, though.
Yeah.
Is it weird that his hitch came back the second it was announced that he's not going to be in the starting lineup anymore?
Oh, I mean, I think it came back once he heard that Jimmy Butler was coming to his team.
He's already that scared.
Did they make the starting lineup announcement before? I mean, no, it's not. Like,
it was obvious.
it's like a rabbit in the middle of an open field is what Michael Fultz is right now. And just like the shadow of a hawk wearing like weirdly large hoop earrings soaring above him. That's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's earrings are terrible. So he's losing his spot. Who are they starting? Are they starting
Jimmy
Wilson Chandler?
Butler?
Well, I know they're starting Jimmy Butler, but Who else is joining the starting lineup?
I think it'll be Butler, Simmons,
Three guys are leaving the starting lineup, and Redick is coming back in. And Jimmy Butler. Yeah, who's the four? Who's the other guy? Who's playing small forward or center, I guess?
I mean, it'll be... Well, center is Joel Embiid.
Is it Muscala? Is it Wilson Chandler?
Start Muscala. I don't think Wilson Chandler's. I don't think so. Aren't they going to start Ben Simmons? This is again us showing that we don't know that.
No. I mean, look. They're going to be starting Embiid, Simmons, Butler, and Redick. Mm-hmm. So they're either going to add a point guard to replace Fultz, or Simmons is the point guard, and it's going to be like a forward. Because Simmons last year would start at point guard.
Right. There's someone on their team we're forgetting, I think.
I think it's probably going to be Wilson Chandler, is my guess. But
that's bad. Wilson Chandler sucks.
He's kind of a bummer.
I mean, remember, last year in an elimination game, we thought Wilson Chandler was shaving points.
Yeah, that wasn't great that Wilson Chandler was playing like that.
Ben Simmons at the four.
But well, who should they start? Who should be the fifth guy?
Landry Shamet, dude. Get the shooting in there.
Get Landry in there.
Yeah, J.J. Redick and Landry Shamet, man.
Not T.J.?
No, T.J. can't shoot, remember?
Oh, you're right. He can't. Mike Jaws
can maybe shoot, but... They need a trade, man. They need to make a trade.
Landry's not any great shakes as a shooter either.
He's supposed to be.
I don't know. He's shooting 34%. Now here's one thing I will say to defend Frightened Rabbit Markel Fultz. His shooting splits this year are basically identical to De'Aaron Fox's shooting splits last year, and De'Aaron Fox is shooting just fine this year. And Markel Fultz is 6 months older than De'Aaron Fox was last season.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe we're freaking out a little too hard about this guy. And just about basketball in November and December anyway.
I think that would be fair if the guy didn't basically miss a season last year because he couldn't shoot anymore.
No, I understand, but he's still... 20 years old, and it just I don't know why you wouldn't just kind of take some lumps in, like, let's give this guy some game time and see what happens. I mean, maybe it's like, again, I don't know about mechanics. Maybe he's never going to get better again. But I just wonder, like, obviously he should be coming off the bench. I'm not going to argue with that. But, like, the idea that the spacing in the middle of the second quarter of a game in mid-November is, like, make or break for the Sixers seems crazy to me. Like, they're not going to be the one seed in the conference anyway. And they're not really going to be worse than the fifth seed. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you just ease up on your 20-year-old and see, like, I don't understand the instinct to panic about him. I don't understand why people are. I understand that it is notable and it's weird. And I understand why, like, people on Twitter are making fun of him. I don't understand why the Philadelphia 76ers feel like they need to do anything dramatic. Like, obviously, take him out of the starting lineup. That's fine. But people who are like, we got to trade him away. It's kind of like, no, just keep playing. Like, you're kind of locked in. I don't know. I don't understand the degree of freaking out that's going on to a guy who, you know, you drafted a month after his 19th birthday.
Well, you forgot last year. But he forgot totally how to shoot. Like, the reason he was the number one pick was can shoot.
But, like, what are they gaining by freaking out? Just take him off the bench and keep playing him and work out with him.
Yeah.
What's the time pressure on this?
I think they're maybe not freaking out sense. Enough, man.
I mean, maybe, but, like,
We just read their roster. I don't know if they have five startable guys.
Well, again, what's the panic? They're 9-6. They have Jimmy Butler. Why does it matter if they have a point guard? Like, I mean, you know, they have a bunch of guys that are fine. Just play Wilson Chandler because you have three all-stars surrounding
Wilson
him.
Chandler sucks, dude.
But like, he's fine in the starting lineup because they have three all-stars.
Yeah, but then, I don't know. Their team, they need a trade, and I think Fultz is who they need to trade. I said this last episode.
How far away from the trade deadline right now? We're 3 months away. I just don't understand why people are losing their minds right now over a 20-year-old. Again,
I guess that's fair.
Shooting splits are the same as De'Aaron Fox last year.
Yeah, and De'Aaron Fox was bad last year.
And then he's good this year. Like you're again, this is a guy. he entered the league 4 years younger than Wesley Johnson was when he got to the NBA. And look, it took Wesley Johnson 7 or 8 years to put it together.
But also, bringing in Jimmy Butler now, like, that moves the window. He has to be good now. Like,
aren't they just going to re-sign Jimmy Butler?
Like, yeah, but Jimmy Butler's...
What do you gain by freaking out? Trading him for the least possible value? Again, it's November.
But also, who knows if they're actually freaking out? That's the other thing we don't know.
That's true. Well, maybe
it's not like they suspended him for a game for missing that free throw.
It's true.
You know what I mean? One team is freaking out here, and it's not the Philadelphia 76ers. All right.
That's a one-game suspension.
Karl Anthony Towns. He had a pretty good game post-trade, and by pretty good, I mean really good. He shot 9 of 11 because he loves the troops, and he never forgets. He got 25, 21, and 10 turnovers.
Yeah, he had a triple-double, a Westbrook triple-double.
But then he gave an insane quote. Should I read it?
Well, also, the Minnesota Timberwolves managed to squeak past the Brooklyn Nets at home after the Nets' best player had an incredibly horrific injury mid-game.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done, Timberwolves.
The Karl-Anthony's quote was, quote, first of all, I'm not one of the most important players on the team. I'm just a piece on this team. Everyone is just as important as the next. So if everyone's doing their job and everyone is working hard, doing the little things, we make a great product. That's first. And second, we just have to come together. We're not doing well on defense so far this year, and we have to clean that up.
Oh, man. So my question is, he's not a leader. He's not one of the most important players on the team. Who is the leader in Minnesota, Joey? Is it Derrick Rose?
It's probably
Is Derrick
Taj
Rose
Gibson.
The leader of this team?
No.
What's that?
But it's Taj Gibson, I think. But here's my thing. You know what? I would feel that way, too, if I were him.
That, like, you're just one of the pieces?
No, that I'm not one of the most important players on the team, because the team just let a guy publicly take a shit on me for 3 months.
Well, they did trade him after he demanded that he get traded.
Eventually, but like...
Look, he got him Roko, baby. Dario Saric. Lottery pick Dario Saric.
But the team let this guy fuck his girlfriend.
Well, I don't think that was Tom Thibodeau's fault, I gotta say. You know what? I gotta say, Karl Anthony Towns, take a little bit of agency in that.
No. In what world is that Karl Anthony Towns' fault?
She was not satisfied.
Okay.
I mean, a fed mouth doesn't complain, Joey.
That is... All right. I want to suspend you for an episode. But no, yeah. They literally just let a guy shit on him publicly for 3 months.
What kind of quote is this, though? Like it's like, hey, it's your team. It's finally your team. And he's like, it's not my team. I'm just signed here for 6 more years.
Well, no, but what he's trying... I get what he's trying to say.
I get what he's trying to say. It does not seem like it's not the most encouraging note for him to be hitting, I would say, if you're a Timberwolves fan.
I mean, it's better than dapping Jimmy Butler after he calls you a bitch for an entire practice, Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, boy. Do you think Karl Anthony Towns considers himself a leader in Fortnite?
No, you don't play. I mean, maybe if his squad, I don't know. I don't know if he plays individual or squads. I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, though, he practices it a lot.
Yeah. I like, how do you feel about him saying, we make a great product?
Bad. That is bad.
That's the part I hated the most. I didn't really like, because the first one, it's like, I'm being mean to him, but it is like a reasonable thing to say. It's like, look, there was this one guy who was screwing things up. We're a team. I'm part of the team. But then make a great product, and we have to clean the, like, I didn't like great product. Just going to say that. Feels very mm-hmm. Darren Rebell.
Yeah, sure does. Team bums me out. Do you want to talk about Tyson Chandler?
Yeah, just quickly. It's hilarious. I drive around in LA, and that's all that LA Talk Radio can talk about. Tyson Chandler dominating. He won the Atlanta game by blocking Trae Young at the buzzer. That was actually a real sweet ass block. He's playing well. And there is no way that this 3-game stretch against Minnesota, Sacramento, and Atlanta is fluky. The rest of the NBA schedule will be just like that. Also, it seems like he just shoves guys in the back a lot. That seems like it's kind of his move. I don't remember that being his specialty, but it's very effective.
Look, I'm going to defend your sarcastic Tyson Chandler thing here. I do think he really helps because there's an adult on the team now. Like, the children are children. LeBron James is an entity. He's not like a human being. And
he basically said,
and then they've got all these fucking psychos. And now there's like an adult there who's like, yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been on some of the worst teams. I've been on I've been on a championship team. I've won Defensive Player of the Year. Everyone says Tyson Chandler's a good guy.
He also looks like a sea god.
Yeah, I just think it's helpful to have, like an adult in the locker room. Because Lance and JaVale and Rondo aren't that.
Well, also, he's, like, he's still good at rebounding, and he's still good at, like, he's not mobile, but that's fine. They kind of just need him to guard the basket, because no one else on the team will.
And also, just be a grown-up. Like, don't be a fucking psycho.
It seems like, I don't really know anything about his personal life, but I just think of him as super cool, too.
Yeah, he's like, he was like one of the NBA's first fashion dudes, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like 7'1", which makes it look... Oh, yeah, he... Doesn't he wear a lot of capes?
I think...
which is also amazing for a guy who's 7'1". I'm sorry for the hot weather. Probably it'll get a little colder, and he can bust those... that cold weather cape gear out. Also, I noticed... So Lakers get him for free, because he got bought out for the Suns. I don't think there's any... Like Tyson Chandler is a... very good player, I would say. He's probably not a Hall of Famer, but he's like, he'll get reviewed by that Hall of Fame committee, you know?
Yeah, like he won Defensive Player of the Year.
Let me tell you some of the guys that Tyson Chandler has been traded for over the course of his career. He was traded from the Bulls to the Hornets for 36-year-old PJ Brown and 20-year-old J.R. Smith.
Who was a malcontent at that point, right?
Yeah, the Bulls traded him 3 days later, Nuggets. Then he got traded to the Bobcats for Emeka Okafor. He got traded to the Mavs for Eric Dampier, Eduardo Nahara, and Matt Carroll. And then he won Defensive Player of the Year 2 years later. Then he got traded to, that was a sign-in trade, but he did get traded for a second rounder. When he got traded back to the Mavs, it was for Jose Calderon, Samuel D'Alembert, Wayne Ellington, and Shane Larkin. Like, every team seems like they undervalue him. Also, he almost got traded to the Thunder for Joe Smith, who was, like, 35, and Chris Wilcox. And he also had a rescinded trade to the Toronto Raptors, where he was getting traded for Jose Calderon again, and the Raptors were going to be getting Boris Diaw in the trade.
The Thunder, like, are so fucking stupid for not doing that trade.
If they had traded for Tyson Chandler at the trade deadline in 2009... like, they would have been set for so long, except they would have, like, traded Westbrook because they were like, oh, Chandler's going to be a free agent in a year. Got to get assets. Yeah, he would have fit so perfectly, and Russell Westbrook would not have been able to start stealing rebounds either, because Tyson Chandler would have just, like, glared at him once. And then those guys would have got along so well, shopping together.
All right, let's move to some actual stories that we want to talk about. Carmelo Anthony is sick. I'm really worried about him. He's so sick he can't play. They're not letting him play on the Rockets. That's how sick he's so contagious. He's contagious, they're sending him away forever.
I get to Sophie, get better, man.
Yeah, get better, Melo.
Emergency.
But no, seriously... they pretended he was sick.
Why did they do that? Why did they choose that approach?
And then it leaked that they were, like, talking about his role. And then both Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey gave press conferences that were like, oh, no, things are fine with Melo. He's just sick. He's coming back. Where they were both clearly lying. Like, it was obvious how, like...
like, not even really trying to be believed,
it was like, they were like the John Lovitz character from SNL, the pathological liar.
Yeah, that's it. He's got pneumonia. That's it. And he's a great part of the offense. And we're all happy to play him here. And he's going into his role. That's it. That's it. He's happy coming off the bench.
Has he officially gotten waived yet? Is it done?
Well, you know what did happen today is that during a press conference, Mike D'Antoni coughed and a reporter said, hey, do you have a... Oh, Tim McMahon said it. He said, oh, did Melo get you sick? Did you get what Melo has?
I feel bad for Mello.
I do too. Like, this was this because is... look, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
He's being scapegoated here for things that aren't entirely his fault. There are several problems with the Rockets. Mello is one of them, but not the main problem. The main problem is Chris Paul got suspended and then James Harden got hurt. And also Clint Capella hasn't been very good.
Yeah, they
and also they replaced like key rotation pieces with Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah.
That is not Melo's fault.
Michael Carter Williams, who I think had maybe the saddest on-court NBA moment of the decade a couple of years ago in Philly, when Brett Brown was like yelling at him to hustle and he just sadly pointed to the scoreboard.
Yeah, but that's funny.
I mean, it's not sad.
That's good. Good job. I like Michael Carter Williams. He was better because of that.
He was really bummed out, man. Also, the Rockets are basically fine because it's November and they lost a bunch of home games, which, you know, isn't good. But
they were getting fucking blown out by 30. How is that good?
It's not good. I'm just saying, like, they're 10 games into the season and they have like six new players and their two best players have each missed time. Like, it feels like maybe executives are on Twitter too much. Like, again, it's not great, but are the Rockets going to miss the playoffs? No.
No.
And also, like, what did they think they were getting with Melo? It's not like I can understand being the New York Knicks and being like, hey, we just gave this guy a big extension and now he doesn't really want to pass and he's not developing his game. We're a little disappointed. And even the Thunder last year, it was a terrible idea on its face, but I can see that sliver of like, look, if he just spots up and shoots, you know, we can cover him. We've got Roberson and Adams. His defense won't hurt us that bad. But like, how are the Rockets surprised by anything that's happening? Why is this happening after 10 games?
The siren song of Olympic Melo is just too. It's to see too hard for people. Like Olympic Melo, he's there. He's like GM's white whale now, where it's like, yeah, we can bring him in and it'll just be Olympic Melo. And it's like, oh, do you have LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Jason Kidd? Like,
I don't even think playing with LeBron would help him that much, because if you're talking about someone who doesn't give sufficient defensive effort in the regular season, I don't know if LeBron James is the teammate you want to match him up with.
You know who should sign him, though? You know who could use Olympic Melo?
Who's that?
The Philadelphia 76ers, baby.
They're one of the teams that are talking to him. So it's the teams that are actually, I mean, whatever, are either have reached out or are being leveraged by Melo's agent. It's the two most prominent ones, and like, well, the Pelicans, he's been mentioned as a Pelican just because he has a heart and like a human body and they can use that on their bench. The Sixers, which please go to Philadelphia. That is the most hilarious possible place for him to go.
He's better than Wilson Chandler.
Put Fultz under your wing, baby.
Right? He's better than Wilson Chandler.
I don't have a sense of how good Wilson Chandler is. He bums me out a lot, but I'm also like, am I being unfair to Wilson Chandler?
Oh, no, I think you give Wilson Chandler too much credit.
I'm actually too kind to Wilson Chandler, maybe. I mean,
Wilson Chandler used to be pretty good, but he's old now and was never as... I think Melo might be better.
he has... looking at him, he has a way crazier set of tattoos than
it's nuts.
Remember,
Wilson Chandler's tattoos.
Does he
are
have a
fucking
baby's
nuts
face tattooed on his neck? Wilson Chandler, I'm going to say the jury is still out. He's only played 4 games this year so far. I don't think he's playing on back-to-backs yet. He's still coming back from his injury, so
Give it to Melo and let him jab step, baby. Oh, yeah.
Well, and finally reuniting the two guys that got Wilson Chandler in the Melo trade, too. Oh, that'd be beautiful. But what if Anthony takes Markel Fultz under his wing and they like go into the gym and they're both wearing their hoodies and he comes out and they're like, look at the brand new Markel Fultz, and he shoots exactly the same, but now he has like 20 hats.
Who else is the agent talking to? Anyone else?
Portland. Portland's the other team.
Oh, God. That is a nightmare. No. No, he can't go to Portland.
They can kind of use... No, of course they can't use him. Their team's fine. Oh, Melo in Portland, though. I'm just saying, I don't want him to leave the NBA yet, Joey. I feel like he's not going to.
Mess
with his presence.
You know what I think he should do, actually? I think he should go to the fucking, like, the Orlando Magic and just shoot every time. Let's see how many points Melo can average now.
Oh, that'd be so tight.
Like, what? Or the Knicks! What if he went back to the Knicks? Like,
he's not allowed to go back to the Hawks for a year because they waived him, unfortunately.
But just go to one of these tanking teams and, like, Melo Carnival, dude. Carnival Melo. That's what I want.
I think I started saying it this summer. I want him to come back to the Knicks. He's got unfinished business. Wouldn't that be beautiful if he comes back to the Knicks and he comes back and they make a big deal out of it, and he, like, reunites with Lala, and then he comes back, and he just starts putting up 32 shots a game, and he's shooting, like, 36%, and he leads the Knicks into a high enough pick to select Zion Williamson.
Yeah, he'd be a hero.
Doesn't that make sure that he's a hero again? Yeah. Kind of seems like the Blazers might have a spot for him at backup power forward, I gotta say.
I just don't like, look, the Blazers are fine. I like the Blazers. I don't want to watch those Blazers, those like self-flagellating Blazers fans, like, do it over Melo.
I kind of think his hat stuff would play pretty well, though.
Yeah, of course. But look,
because of vegan.
Look, Portlandia is no longer on. That would be the only reason for him to go there, is to be on Portlandia.
He's, like, literally put a bird on his career.
But, like, I just can't watch those Blazers fans, like, cut themselves over Melo, dude.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? What if someone told him how many strippers are in Portland? How many strip clubs there are? How many, like, diners you can go
That's
into.
That's the other reason he shouldn't go there.
Oh,
he's had problems with strippers in the past.
Really talking myself into this, Joey.
In fact, that might be why he's not doing that well in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Stay away from strippers, Melo.
All right.
Go to strip-free place.
Okay, if someone introduced Carmelo Anthony to Stephen Malkmus, Melo has no idea who he is, right?
No, why would he?
No, he wouldn't.
A, he's like too young. And B, there's no.
They don't have a lot of common ground. I think Malkmus should reach out. If you know Stephen Malkmus, any listeners, encourage him to just drop a line to Melo's agent and tell him how much he liked it.
Because Malkmus should reach out to us.
Well, yeah, he should also reach out to us, but also reach out to Melo's agent and tell him, you know, the Blazers need him. They need 12 minutes of Melo a game.
It can't be 12 minutes. We need 48 minutes of Melo somewhere on a team that doesn't matter. Make a team matter. Go to Sacramento. Oh, Sacramento? Oh, yeah, dude.
I mean, they've been, like, too good this year, unfortunately, because spiritually, they're not good, though.
They're not good. They're this year's Magic. It's just a hot start.
They are. I'm just saying that they have, like, a roster of like 14 mediocre guys who are nonetheless probably all better than Melo.
Justin, you know what I mean? Jackson is not better than Melo.
He's terrible. He's the worst. But other than that, I think you can make an argument for pretty much anyone on the roster ahead of Melo.
Sacramento, though, dude. Come on, it's perfect.
How many possessions does Sacramento go through at that pace before he just stops crossing? Like, he's 3-point line to 3-point line.
I mean, that's what Vivek's into. He wanted them to play 4-on-5.
Wow. Hey, they beat the Spurs.
That's the other place I want. See, I could see him going to the Spurs. If he's going to go someplace good,
mm-hmm.
like, go play with Pop. See if Pop can get Olympic Melo out.
I mean, is there... Do you think Rudy Gay would, like, fight him? It's like, there's only one spot for, you know, us.
No, I bet Rudy Gay loves Melo, dude.
Oh, I'm sure he loves Melo. He's just like... Yeah, I bet they get along great. I wonder if you like crunch the numbers, is it in like 2014, does Rudy Gay become a better player than Carmelo Anthony?
Not in 2014, no.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering.
I bet it was like,
2016
he was a better player. That's when it happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Sacramento Rudy Gay was not better than Carmelo Anthony. Than any Knicks Melo.
I mean, Melo did make the All-Star team in 2016. Now, granted,
he played for the New York Knicks.
Maybe some people died. Like, I think he was an injury replacement and like the fourth injury replacement. But,
okay, let's talk about one last thing.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant has broken Jason Tatum, and it's my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, it's amazing.
Do you want to run through this story real quick before we get out of here?
Yeah. So should we go to the? We should go for the Kobe part first, right?
Yes.
Kobe revealed that he had given Jason Tatum advice, which was shoot every time, pass if you have to, but shoot if possible. Which is incredible advice for a young player from just an all-time NBA great, Kobe Bryant. Good. Player, great person. And as
you know, what he also said,
what's that?
Said, if you see a mural with Jaylen Brown's face on it, deface it.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then he was like, I will give you $10,000 if you rip down a LeBron James billboard. And Los Angeles was like, what? It's already made, he's already rich, like, he doesn't need to do it. So according to Cleaning the Glass...
And then he said, put this puppet on your hand.
Put this puppet on your hand.
We're going to tell some stories right now.
We're going to frighten some children right now. So according to Cleaning the Glass, 28% of Jason Tatum's shots are long twos, which is puts him in apparently the 100th percentile among forwards. That means
I don't think
most,
I've
right?
ever seen a 100th percentile.
Oh, yeah. So he's in the 100th percentile in a bad way. Mm-hmm. So the most long twos. What do you think he's shooting on those long twos, Joey? Well,
it's got to be like 37%,
well? Right? 27%.
Oh, that's way worse.
What percentile is he for youth, though?
100th. He's so young, dude. He's the youngest kid I've ever seen. Oh, it's God. Amazing. I've never seen... someone so young.
A fetus with that much range.
It's
is incredible.
So amazing. He is like, I mean, he's an MVP. He's got to be an MVP because he's so young.
So much fucking youth. Ugh, love it.
Do you think Rob Pelinka put Kobe Bryant up to this?
I don't think Rob
Pelinka
has.
Is this the rekindling of the Lakers-Celtics, the classic Lakers-Celtics rivalry?
I do think it. Yeah, it's revenge. It's he's doing this one for Jerry West. He's doing it for
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson. Did he get who did Robert Parrish hit?
Kurt Rambis.
Kurt Rambis. Yeah. Doing it for Rambis.
And it wasn't Robert Parrish. It was Kevin McHale clotheslined him.
Okay.
Because someone punched Parrish.
Robert
the game
Parrish
before.
Punched Bill Laimbeer in a game and just like straight up just did it like. that's an amazing clip to see, because you watch that and you're like, I think Robert Parrish might have been suspended for a year if that happened now.
Uh-huh. But anyway, so this is, you think that's this? This is the rekindling of the Lakers-Celtics rivalry?
He just sees this vulnerable, you know, he flattered him last year by featuring him in one of those crappy videos. Did you know Peyton Manning's doing one of those for ESPN
yeah,
now too?
I hope he does it in voices, though. Like,
oh, that, right.
Was, where he's well, just like doing like jokes over the commentary.
Peyton Manning, this is what Aaron Rodgers is seeing here. And, well,
I here's the thing. Is ESPN going to give one of those to just every member of Club Vino?
I don't think you can put Floyd Mayweather on TV.
Yeah, he's going to have to like live on a boat in international waters eventually.
All of the Club Vino crimes against women, I just realized.
I think, is JT clean?
Oh, yeah, he probably is. Timberlake, I think, has not been Me Too'd.
It's kind of mean to Britney in a song.
Yeah.
But
let's not talk about that, though. Sean, what, before your mic breaks again, what would you like to plug?
Dick, come see me at the Punchline, co-headlining with Sammy Obey, December 20th through the 22nd.
Do you want to plug West Coast Bias? Is that still a thing you're doing?
I think that's going to happen tomorrow night on a Twitch stream. It's up to Big Corbs himself, Corbin A. Smith, and come see the business on Monday nights if you're in LA. Check out the Everything Report if you are on Instagram.
As for me... you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 6 days ago I tweeted, I just ate an entire cake. It's 6:59 a.m.
Oof. How did it even fit?
Trust the process.
Trust the process, but... Oh,
shut it down. Let's all tell our bosses to suspend our coworkers for one day.
So good to me, I know, but I can't change. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried. You must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you. I'm a little bit of everything, all roll into one. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way. So take me as I am. This may mean you'll have to be a stronger man. Rest assured that when I start to make you nervous and I'm going to extremes, tomorrow I will change and today won't mean a thing. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.